Every Monday at this time, we get up to speed on the latest state government news and the proposals being floated at the state capitol, and we have a lot of issues to cover this morning in our weekly state capitol report. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, January the 17th. It's Martin Luther King Day, a state holiday, but that doesn't mean that things will be quiet at the state capitol. It will be bustling for the state's annual tribute and ceremony honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. At noon today from the Capitol Rotunda. If you can't make it there in person, you can hear it live here on the Ideas Network. There probably won't be a lot of state legislative business or state government business other than that on the docket today, but there will be as the week goes on, and we will get a preview and an update on all the issues making news last week in this first half of our state capitol report with our state capitol reporter, Sean Johnson, who joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
Happy Martin Luther King Day to you.
You too.
Now, as mentioned, it's a state holiday, so other than that ceremony, not much going on at the state capitol today?
Not in terms of public hearings. They might be trying to do some fine details on some of the bills that are moving forward in the session that'll be up before the budget committee tomorrow, or maybe not. Nothing other than the ceremony happening at the Capitol, though, publicly.
Yeah, but for the rest of the week, just what's going to probably happen this week?
Well, I mean, they're gonna get started pretty fast tomorrow. The Joint Finance Committee, the legislature's budget committee, is going to meet on a number of the governor's special session bills, since a number of them have fiscal notes, that is to say, they have an effect on the state budget. And so that stuff generally goes through, or should go through, joint finance. And then the Senate is going to have a floor session tomorrow, and they're going to vote on one of the governor's bills right off the bat here. So
which one?
The big tort reform bill. And that's the first one that got a big public hearing. It's going to be, it's moving fast. It got a public hearing last week, very lengthy public hearing, and at times emotional public hearing, because whenever you're talking about tort reform or changing the rules for lawsuits, you're going to have one side that says this makes us more business friendly, but whenever you do that, you're sort of closing the door or making it harder for someone else to sue when they or one of their loved ones has been hurt, and so those people generally show up to testify at hearings like this. And there were quite a few of them last week.
Yeah. So what are the with that tort reform, does this how does it make it harder for someone to sue, or does it put a cap on damages?
In some cases it will. Broadly speaking, it's such an expansive bill that to summarize it and say this is what it does is kind of difficult, because it gets into a variety of topics. The bill that the governor introduced would make it harder to go after punitive damages, which are, lawsuits that are explicitly for punishing a company for wrongdoing. It would change who you can sue. So would make you go after a manufacturer in some cases, where right now you could sue somebody who sold you a defective product or the distributor. If you're in a nursing home, it caps damages, and on and on and on. I mean, there's a variety of changes in there, but broadly speaking, it tightens up the rules for who can get damages in Wisconsin.
And what kind of testimony did you hear when this received a hearing last week?
Well, I mean, broadly speaking, it is favored enthusiastically by the business groups in Wisconsin. I mean, these are bills that have been sort of a lot of them on their wish list for a number of years, certainly the Doyle years. And they did bring in one small business owner, a guy named Cap Wolf. He runs a heating and air conditioning business in Door County. And he testified that he supports the governor's proposal. He says he's been sued by businesses in the past, and he calls the current legal system, his words were, I think, legal extortion.
The discovery goes on and on and on and on and on, and the bills keep going up and up and up, and the insurance companies just say, settle, 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 pay out, just pay them off, let's just make them go away. And that's the kind of thing that we deal with all the time. We never know when it's coming. Now, we've never had the big one, the one that would take us down, but, that threat is always out there.
And when he was pressed about what part of the governor's bill he supported, he said he liked part that discouraged frivolous lawsuits. But that's a pretty small piece of this bill. And And really, a lot of the other ones that you could say maybe have less to do with the business community, or at least the manufacturing community, are what drew some of that emotional testimony, especially part that would have changed how you can get punitive damages in Wisconsin, or really tighten up what it would take to get those. And so, you know, you had a number of people who very emotional, who had family members hurt, and said those are their chance to go after these companies or these individuals who hurt their family members. And one of those people was Christine Larson, who's involved in a lawsuit against healthcare providers that she contends did not respond properly to her diabetic daughter.
Unfortunately, my daughter did not make it. She died at the hospital because they did not follow simple guidelines. My daughter did not get the treatment she needed to stay alive. I can't criminally charge these people. I can't make them accountable for what they did. And if this bill goes through, I will not be able to actually have them suffer any kind of real consequence. So I'm vehemently opposed to this bill.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there was a Senate committee that met on this bill on Friday, and they did change the part about punitive damages, basically put the old rules for punitive damages back in place, but put a cap on the damages at $200,000 or twice monetary damages. You know, so if you sued and you had $500,000 in hospital bills, you could sue for $1 million in punitive damages, the way I understand it. And hopefully that's the correct understanding, but that was my reading of what they did there. And you know, some Democratic lawmakers said that at least made the bill better, but that you're still protecting people who, in these cases, don't need to be protected.
And again, Governor Walker thinks that this tort reform will help the business climate, will help somehow create jobs in Wisconsin.
I mean, he's listening to business groups on this one, and if you look at surveys, Wisconsin is not in the top states of what. Business groups like the U.S. Chamber say are the worst states for their legal climate. But, you know, when you talk to these business groups in Wisconsin, they say it's an issue. They definitely have the governor's ear on this.
And the Senate, you say, votes on this tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like they're going to pass it pretty quick. And the Assembly, I think the Assembly's meeting later this week. I don't know what their calendar is, but this could be on it. It's at a hearing now.
Anything else on the docket this week that will be taken up by Senate or Assembly?
That's the only one in the Senate right now. But as I mentioned, there's quite a bit moving right now in the governor's special session package, including some of those like the tax breaks for small businesses and the like.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk more about some of those other issues in just a moment. We're talking with Sean Johnson. He is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, talking about a lot of the issues making news at the state capitol these days. Lots of stuff going on, as we just heard, tort reform, hearings on lawsuit reform. We should talk some, too, when we get back from this break about photo ID for voters. That made some more news. We'll talk some about the Escape to Wisconsin campaign that is being reinitiated by Governor Walker and more. We welcome your questions and thoughts at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be a snowy day, very snowy, especially in central and southern Wisconsin, with several inches of accumulation. Highs today will be in the 20s and low 30s. Snow diminishing tonight with lows ranging from zero in the north to around 30 in the south, and then scattered light snow with accumulations near the Great Lakes tomorrow. Highs tomorrow will be in the teens and 20s and then falling to lows below zero. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7:30, taxes are going up in Illinois, and Governor Walker hopes Wisconsin can lure some businesses from south of the state border. We'll talk with a state lawmaker who says Wisconsin is moving in the right direction when it comes to creating a business-friendly climate, coming up during our state capitol report after 7:30. State Senator Neil Kedzie will be joining us for the second half of our state capitol report. During this first half of the State Capitol Report, we are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And Sean, what is this Escape to Wisconsin plan of Governor Walker's?
Yeah, he was responding to an action last week by the Illinois legislature and governor to a decision to raise their income and corporate income taxes to help balance that state's budget. And, you know, percentage-wise, certainly a significant increase that they're going on up to, and they're going on up to 5% personal income tax, 7% corporate income tax. Think about a 66% increase on the income tax there. So, it was a big move. It's something they've talked about for a long time in Illinois, and it finally done. And Governor Walker was out there from the beginning doing interviews not only in Wisconsin on this, but he's traveling around Illinois doing interviews with TV stations and radio stations there and saying, hey, if you don't like what the Illinois legislature did, come to Wisconsin. Check us out.
They've sent a message as to which way they're headed. We're sending a message that not only now in the special session, but in the budget when we start to hone in on property taxes and in subsequent actions we take when we start lowering the income and corporate tax over the next couple of years, that we're headed in a positive direction for employers. Illinois is headed in the negative direction.
Yeah, he's doing some national interviews, too. I saw him on some national news broadcast last week.
Yeah, and he didn't really say what, but he hinted that he was going to sort of expand on this Escape to Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's holding up that old bumper sticker that we used to have.
Whether that means paying for you know, billboards in Illinois that say the same thing or what, you know, I don't know. But he seems to be very happy to play around with this one.
What does Illinois think about this?
Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, a Democrat, was asked about it right off the bat at the press conference he held after the legislature passed this tax increase budget. And just to use a little compilation of some of his comments about Wisconsin.
Well, lots of luck to them, but that's not going to happen. We're after Talgo, which he decided to kick in the shins when he didn't want to support the high-speed rail in Wisconsin. I think you'll see that that'll be a big mistake. I really don't believe in this, you know, calling other states names. I believe in regional cooperation. We're a region. We should work together. But if we want to talk about the capital of the Midwest, the state that is the strongest, and that's Illinois.
So there you go, a little border war over businesses here. And, you know, a couple of things. Wisconsin's income tax rate is still higher than Illinois for the vast majority of filers here. We're on a scale depending on how much you make, but the income tax rate is still higher here. The corporate income tax rate, if you don't take into account stuff like what's called a replacement tax in Illinois, without getting into the details, if you don't take into account taxes like that, the corporate income tax rate is higher in Wisconsin than in Illinois. So you kind of look at that and wonder, well, what's your point, Governor Walker? But he says that if you look at the direction that the states are going, he wants to cut taxes. Illinois has raised their taxes, and that's what businesses will weigh. But you know, there's also intangibles like Illinois has Chicago. I mean, it's kind of hard to. That's an economic powerhouse. There's all sorts of decisions that businesses are going to weigh when they decide where to locate.
Well, we'll certainly talk more about that border war, I guess, with State Senator Neil Kedzie coming up after 7:30. We had a similar thing going on, I remember, during Tommy Thompson's era, I thought, or just before Tommy Thompson became governor. So we'll talk more with him about that coming up. What else is going on on the jobs front, Sean, in the jobs plan?
There's a big proposal the governor has, big though not very detailed at this point, to partially privatize the Commerce Department in Wisconsin. Basically, take the agency that's there, turn everybody, it split off the regulatory functions to other agencies, and everybody that remains would be private employees, and they would be an agency just focused on going out and attracting employers to the state. This is something that people like Bill McCoshin, who's a lobbyist, he's the executive director of a group called Competitive Wisconsin, and actually a former Commerce Secretary under Tommy Thompson was there when they started the Commerce Department from other agencies. He said they're big supporters of this. McCoshin says that it really hones commerce's duties on what they should be doing.
Let me give you an average day, or what could be a possible day for a commerce secretary. Paul Jaden's first day in the office. He could be dealing with elevators, someone brought that up, recycling, a tragedy at an amusement park in Wisconsin Dells, a tragedy at a parking structure in Milwaukee County, a mound system in Adams County, underground storage tank in Douglas County, and lo and behold, last but not least, job creation. What this bill does, plain and simply, is moves those regulatory functions to a more suitable agency and creates a laser-like focus on job creation.
Okay.
It's not exactly a novel approach, though. I mean, they've tried this in other states. Wisconsin had a variation of this with Forward Wisconsin, which was a public-private partnership that just basically fizzled due to lack of interest from the private sector. And so, you know, that's one of the complaints from critics of this plan is what makes you think this is going to be different? Also, a group called Good Jobs First, a watchdog group in Washington, D.C., did a report looking at these public-private partnerships throughout the country and said that, you know, they've been plagued by problems, serious accountability problems, because once you privatize these, even if you have audits, things like that, they're suddenly less accountable to the legislature and the governor. Philip Matera, the director of that group, said they're also, you know, you have high, exorbitant, I think may have been his words, salaries for the executives who run these agencies and less protections for the workers.
This seems like, you know, a gimmick. It seems like a, you know, kind of a false answer, you know, to a serious problem. And so, you know, I would suggest that there are other things that you need to look at in order to improve the job climate in this state or in any other state. Handing over the marketing of the state to a bunch of business people is really not the solution.
This is going to happen, though? Is there any obstacle to this happening?
This is going to happen in some form. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me to tell you exactly what this agency would look like is sort of impossible right now, because they have just sort of a bare-bones bill out there floating right now that talks about how you change commerce into this new agency, give quite a bit of authority to the Department of Administration under the governor. And we don't know a whole lot more. The rest is going to come in the budget. So I think one Democrat was calling it a blind leap of trust, and it sort of is at this point.
Yeah. Tell me about this this audit of Wisconsin's medical assistance programs.
Yeah, I mean, as far as audits go, this is a biggie. This is something that's been talked about for quite a while, and it was resisted to some degree by the Doyle administration. This audit will look at all of Wisconsin's medical assistance programs, and these are programs that provide some form of health care to more than 1 million residents in Wisconsin. About one in five of us get some form of health care from that, whether it be some form of Badger Care, senior care, what have you. And so the legislature's audit committee basically authorized the audit bureau to go in and kind of pick it apart, look at expenses, administrative expenses, compare it to other states. And the new deputy secretary of the Department of Health Services, Kitty Rhodes, former state Republican lawmaker Kitty Rhodes, says she welcomed the audit.
We have had serious discussions about sustainability of some of the current programs. We have, I think, somewhere over the years, we may need to start to readdress what is Medicaid, how does Medicaid work, and what is not Medicaid. And some of the expansions have gone tremendously beyond the definitions of Medicaid.
What concerns Democrats in this one, though, John Richards is who voices of Milwaukee Democrat voices on the committee, said, you know, it's fine to go ahead and audit this stuff, but you look at the way this special session is going. There's a lot of bills that are spending money in form of tax cuts. That's costing the state more, adding to an already large budget deficit. And so he's concerned that they're going to use this audit, the results of this audit, as a way of saying, hey, we're out of money. Sorry, we got to cut stuff like Badger Care. And, you know, if you listen to Kitty Rhodes' comments there, I don't know what she means exactly. But when you're talking about reevaluating what Medicaid is and that it's been expanded beyond the real definitions of Medicaid, you know, that certainly opens up the possibility that some people who are getting coverage through something like Badger Care right now would not be later on.
Just a couple of less than a couple of minutes left. Governor Walker proposed some different siting regulations for wind turbines? What's going on?
He got involved in some pretty specific disputes in what's an otherwise broad regulatory bill. He's got this bill that would change the rulemaking process in Wisconsin, the way agencies do administrative rules on the fine details of bills that pass the legislature. Basically, broadly speaking, it'd give him and future governors more power. But he stuck some stuff in there that would get involved in this wetlands dispute between somebody who wants to develop up in Brown County, a dispute between him and the DNR. Also got involved in a dispute with the wind industry, and Governor Walker would have a much longer, much larger setback for wind turbines, between wind turbines at home, than is on the books right now. And that's something where the wind industry has said, look, this is going to crush us. You're going to cost a lot of jobs. And so they're questioning what this is doing in a special session on jobs.
We'll be talking with a critic of Governor Walker's proposals coming up on Friday after 7 o'clock. So we'll have more on that issue then. And we didn't get just a brief comment on the voter ID or photo ID, a news conference on this. This is going to be taken up by the legislature this session?
Yeah, and I mean, it's no surprise that now that Republicans are in charge, this is that they are going to move on this bill. This has been something that they've long wanted to deal with. I guess stay tuned for what it looks like. And it looks like it could be one of the strictest photo ID requirements in the country. And that it wouldn't let you present stuff like an affidavit to get around that driver's license or photo ID requirement. Stay tuned on the costs and whether they approve a constitutional amendment to do the same thing.
We'll talk to you more about that another time. Thanks, Sean. This is Joy. The Ideas Network.